The discovery of lead in the water in Flint, Michigan several years ago woke a lot of people up to the dangers of lead for humans, and the Flint experience spurred action in a lot of other parts of the country. So many places have now tested to make sure there's no lead in the water, especially schools, because lead can be so harmful to a developing brain. All California schools had to test for lead in their drinking water by July 1st, and the results show roughly one in five schools did show the presence of lead. The nonprofit Environmental Working Group packaged up the results with some analysis. Let's unpack some of the findings. Our guest is Susan Little, Senior Advocate for California Government Affairs at the Environmental Working Group, EWG. Susan, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Lay out, if you would, Susan, the testing regime. It was mandated by the legislature. Is that right?
It was, yes.
Mm-hmm. Starting when and continuing till when?
Sure. The legislature back in 2017 required all K-12 public schools to test their drinking water for lead by July of this year. The legislation, however, did not specify that the schools have to test every single drinking potable source of water on the campus, and that has become a problem that we've identified as well.
Interesting. So every school has to test, but not every fountain in every school.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting. And how did that particular wrinkle appear in the legislation?
Well, the legislation just wasn't specific to that. It just said that they have to test potable sources of water, and as the schools have interpreted that, they've interpreted that to mean that they just have to do a sample of their drinking fountains.
And so, some schools are exempt, though, is that right? Because of how recently they were constructed.
That's correct. The law requires or allows schools that were constructed after 2010 to not have to test their drinking water, and that is because of the standard for leaded fixtures changed at that time to require less lead in fixtures that would be that would make up the drinking fountains.
Okay, so 2010 is more or less a magic number year for after that things. You're much less likely to find any sort of lead in the fixtures.
Well, the fixtures still have some lead in them, mm-hmm. but not as much.
So help people understand that part of it, because, I mean, we've known about the dangers of lead in water for a long, long time, and yet we keep talking about plumbing fixtures that emit some lead. Why is it there in the first place?
Sure, lead is just a very, it's cheap metal. And for a long time, it was considered, because it's very malleable, it's easy, and in piping, it's easy, it's soft, so the pipe fitters can easily bend the pipes. Also, the lead doesn't, lead is invisible, its contamination is invisible, it doesn't taste, and it doesn't emit an odor, and so it became the metal of choice for many municipalities. Because it didn't cause any kind of public concerns because people weren't aware that there was lead entering their water. They couldn't tell.
Mm-hmm. And were there tests for the amount of lead in water with this round that just completed with the California schools?
Yes, absolutely. And what we found was that one in five school campuses found at least one fountain on their campus that contained detectable levels of lead. Even when just a small fraction, even when just a sample of their, a few of their fountains were tested. And so the problem, as I mentioned, that we discovered, in addition to the fact that one in five of these of the campuses are serving lead to children in their fountains, is that we really don't know how big the problem is. You see, schools have many more potable fixtures and faucets on their campuses, and children have access, and these are faucets that children have access to. So the schools, in order to be more thorough, schools really need to test all of their fountains to ensure that the children are really not drinking any water that contains lead. In addition, the law doesn't require repeat testing. And lead is very unstable in a drinking water system. A fountain can leach lead at any time. But the law doesn't require repeat or regular testing of the drinking water fountains. And so this round is it. It's all that's required. This round of testing is all that's required of the schools at this time.
So the idea that basically each school had to test one fountain, or was there any ratio that, you know, a school over a certain size had to test two or three or five or something?
No, there was no requirement. And some schools even just tested one fountain.
Wow.
If you look at the data, for the most part, they tested around, on average, about three, between three and five. But schools have a required ratio for the number of drinking fountains that must be on a school campus, depending upon the population of the campus. And typically, that ratio is about one fountain per 150 students. And so if you have a middle school with 1,500 students on it, there should be at minimum 10 drinking fountains on the campus. Plus, then you would have your potable faucets in the kitchens and other places throughout the campus. Well, again, most schools didn't test more than five fountains on their campuses, and generally tested around three.
Lead in California school water, the discussion topic here on the Jefferson Exchange. Our guest is Susan Little, Senior Advocate for California Government Affairs with the Environmental Working Group, EWG, the nonprofit. You can join the conversation on the Exchange. Questions, comments, thoughts about lead in schools, 800-838-3760 to join the conversation by phone, or send your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So in theory, a school that reports negative may in fact have a water fountain that wasn't tested that could be putting out lead.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is a concern because lead, because children, it's a concern that their children could be exposed to lead in their water because children absorb 50% of the lead that they ingest, unlike adults, who absorb much less than that. And lead is a poison. It damages the body's organs and in large amounts can cause death. And it's also a neurotoxin that is especially harmful to children's brains. It builds up in the body, and its effects are irreversible. So even low levels of lead can ingested by children can cause learning disabilities, speech delays, behavioral difficulties, and attention disorders. So any amount of lead that the children are ingesting is a huge concern, and we would certainly urge all schools to test all of their drinking fountains to ensure that every single one of the fountains that are placed in places for children to have easy access to have been cleared.
Now, the numbers I'm looking at that EWG conveyed from the State Water Resources Control Board shows 1,166 positive tests out of 6,595 schools. With more than 5 parts per billion of lead, that's 17.6%, just shy of 18%. Is that 5 parts per billion, you know, seems to be a concern level, but I think what I'm hearing you say is that any level of lead is a concern.
Absolutely, because lead accumulates in the body. And so lead exposure in a child will last their lifetime. It's stored in their organs and their bones. And its effects, again, will cause harm at any level. We found that even at very low levels, that in past years, 10, 20 years ago, the public health community did not think we're a concern. But now we're discovering that even those very low levels are causing attention disorders and behavioral problems, as well as other learning difficulties in children. So any level of lead, albeit a low dose or high dose, will be accumulated in a child's body.
All right, so you get it young, it stays with you, you're saying.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It's stored similar to how calcium is stored in the body. Lead is stored in similar ways.
So, Susan, where do things go from here? A school that got a positive lead test, what is it supposed to do now, if anything?
Sure. Well, the school, under the state law, state law had set the allowable limit for fixes or the required threshold for fixes at 15 at 15 part per billion. So if the water tests at that level, then the schools are supposed to shut down the fountain and replace it. But again, what we found is that at 5 parts per billion, which is still emitting lead at a detectable level, the fountains are not necessarily having to be shut down. So moving forward, we are certainly advocating or suggesting that parents go to their school boards and their school districts and ask and urge their school boards and districts to test all their faucets for lead, to shut down and remediate any fountain that is emitting any detectable level of lead, and to also require repeat testing of those fountains. The school boards and the school districts are the ones who have direct control over this matter. They're the ones who would authorize or determine how often and how frequently the tests are done.
But then it's on the school boards and the school districts. It is not mandated by the state that, for example, if you had one fountain test positive, you have to go back and test all the fountains.
That's right. That is not mandated, no. But again, it's a fountain. Just because one fountain, the fact that one fountain tests positive could be an indicator of the rest of them as well. However, each fountain is its own, could be its own independent source of lead contamination. And so that's why it's very important to test all of them, and that this, a sampling of fountains is not a good indicator of the level of lead of all the fountains on the school site.
Susan Little, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange with the Nonprofit Environmental Working Group. She is the Senior Advocate for California Government Affairs at EWG, and we're talking about lead detected in roughly 18% of California schools that were all required to submit tests by July 1st of this year, and did. You can join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Let me backtrack and see if I can actually support that phrase. Did all the California schools report on time?
Well, we still don't know the complete answer to that question. You see, the test results, all of the they were required to test, to actually perform the test by July 1st, but those test results take about 60 days to be turned around to the state regulators. So by the end of August, we will have a better idea as to how many did actually complete the testing requirement. But as of July 1st, about 2,000 school campuses still had to submit their results.
Okay, so we're still waiting to get further results, and the number then could go higher or lower.
That's right.
Depending on what happens. Are the tests expensive? Is this why the schools didn't seem to want to test more than a fountain or two?
Actually, the tests themselves for the drinking water fountains are, I guess, comparatively affordable. They're in the $20 to $30 range per fountain. I think there was politically there when the bill was when AB 2746, the bill that required the testing, when that went through the legislature, there was a lot of the school districts expressed a lot of concern that finding levels of lead in their drinking fountains and their drinking water system would cause them to have to expend a lot of money in repairs. However, what we found is that it's really the fixtures, that is the fountains and the faucets, that are the culprits, that are the ones that are leaching the lead, and that the schools have not had to do huge retrofits of their drinking water system. They have really only had to replace the fountain or the faucet in order to reduce the lead levels that they found.
So basically the valve in the head, but you don't even have to replace the pipe or anything else coming up to the fixture, it sounds like.
Yeah, they have not had to go that far.
Which doesn't sound terribly expensive, and for, you know, for good payoff. Are you surprised that you're getting as much resistance as you've gotten from California schools?
Well, given that the schools have been in, but you know, having difficulty financially, I guess it's not a surprise. But at the same time, we would hope that educators and folks and officials in charge of our educational system would want to ensure that children aren't ingesting lead while they're at school.
Now, I did read the bill, and it appears to sunset, as you mentioned already, that basically the bill self-repeals at a certain time. So there'll not be a second round of testing, at least under this bill, right?
Not under this law, no. There is not a required second round of testing.
All right. I don't have time to get him on the air. Grumpy John and Grants Pass is waiting to talk, but he wants to ask, why don't they get it from each water source in the school? It just simply wasn't required?
It just simply was not spelled out exactly. Mm-hmm. And so the schools appear to have satisfied the testing requirement by just testing a sampling of those drinking fountains on each campus.
So were there any surprises, Susan, in the numbers you got back, indicating that roughly 18% of California schools showed positive tests for lead? Was that, I mean, I don't know if you had any sort of hypothesis about what the number would end up being, but if you did, how did that match it?
I think the results were surprising, certainly, that every campus, that one in five campuses had a fountain that children had access to that emits lead. That was a surprise. I think we had hoped that the number of campuses with these problems would be far fewer. But again, nationwide, this is an ongoing problem in many other states. So comparing our data to those other states, especially ones back east where they have older infrastructure, our data really isn't a surprise. Again, what is a concern, however, is that this data is not complete, and it doesn't ensure that children are really protected on every school campus from lead exposure on every campus.
Okay, just about half a minute left. What will EWG recommend happens from this point forward? What do you want to see happen with lead in California schools?
Of course, what we would like to see happen is that the school boards take action, that they can, on their own initiative, move forward and ensure that all fountains on every campus are tested and tested regularly. Since lead can leach into fountains at any time, that leaching can begin. Even if a test has shown a fountain is clear, it can start leaching in 6 months. So we would urge all school districts to move ahead and just take the initiative to ensure that their children are safe from this lead exposure. And we'd encourage parents to hold the school districts accountable and make sure that the school districts follow through.
And the number, again, of the reports that were completed by July 1st, I mean, some were submitted, but still some tests have to come back. But 1,166 schools out of 6,595 found at least one fountain that served water with more than 5 parts per billion of lead. That's 17.6%, so nearly one in five, a concern for people across California, as reflected by Susan Little, Senior Advocate for California Government Affairs at the Environmental Working Group, working out of Sacramento. Susan, thank you for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, take it easy.